We out here, live, from the street in front of the LinkedIn building. LinkedIn Towers. I don't, they probably don't actually call it that. Your taxi, get out there so I can go to, oh, you suck. Oh, fuck it, we in there. Oh, that's, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that what I just did was legal, but is it a crime? Oh, I hope this person in front of me with this left turn signal doesn't think they're going to make it over, like, and make a left turn from three lanes over when this light changes, because that's an unacceptable turn of events. Okay, nope. They just have their blinker on for no good reason. That's even better. All right, what's on the radio? Let's find out. Let's get there. Radio. Pushing the button marked radio. Well, all right.
In the front, let your feet stomp. Bumping nothing but the classes right here to resurrect the loud new scepter. Right here on Baxter, Sirius XM.
Like I once made them spray, now I can make them put the case of what's been thugging all my life. Can't say I don't deserve to take a break. You'd rather see me catch a case and watch my future fade away.
hanging with your friends and you leave me here alone. Hey, but I know it's all lies just when I ask you where you've been. You can't look me in the eyes. Goodbye. I can't hold it no more. I'm packing up the things and I'm in the store no more.
Good job, Jasmine. It's crazy. I want to know where you at, because you waiting for your boyfriend to come home.
Right.
She like, I'm tired of this shit. Man,
this is
I need
not
some
for
dick.
My
where the fuck? Huh?
This is what not for my fiance. I promise he's a good guy.
Oh, okay. You better. It ain't shape of five. Who's the next call? She said that shit like, let me not embarrass him on the air.
Right.
He about to beat my ass. <Why not? laughs> It ain't shape or file. Who's this?
Yo.
Turn your radio down.
Yo.
You got some bars or what? What's going on?
Nah, I ain't got no bars, man. I'm just calling you as a fan. Love y'all's show.
Hey.
Shout out to y'all. I listen every night, man. But I do want to just say this. These niggas need to not quit their day job, man. Leave this
business. Got it.
Hey, real talk, man. This not 800 block North Dallas, Texas, Colin Ripper. Hey, Dark Kevin,
hey.
Got no
hey, Rep, that's what's up.
Hey, Captain Nuts. Garbage.
Yo.
Yo. One last thing, man. I know y'all recorded all those challenges, right? Y'all should invite the callers back up, have them rap again, record it, and throw both them shits in the trash. It was garbage.
Damn. Damn.
You want disrespectful.
Damn. Good looking, homie. 888 845 last caller before we go to back to the music. Who is this?
Yo, 345, what's going on?
What's up, homie? What's up?
What's going on? My name's Eddie. I'm from Long Island. I want to spit some buzz.
Go ahead, Eddie from Long Island. Holla at us.
Do that.
All right, cool. You ready?
Hit it.
It's your boy, Centric, and I'm back on my grizzly. Twin Tower floor. You know I'm repping from my city. Shit went down, and you know it ain't pretty. I'm a bang on you, fool, sucker, come and get me. On a hustler's ambition, I was sent to rip him. Send me the next victim, I'll fucking twist him. Cause you risked my fame out of the award show. To get more money, more hosts. Focused on narrowing the gap of my own flow. For those who don't know about real rap or real soul, gotta be poetic every time I spit up on the microphone. Using words so strategic when I mix it with flame from the block, never knew that's how I just keep them out hot.
Hey, all right.
Born and raised in Jamaica, Queens, though.
That's what's up. Queens, what's up?
Long Island.
Yo, I appreciate the airtime, fellas. Yo, shout out to J45. I listen to y'all every day, man.
That's what's up. Good looking, bro. Thank you.
How we doing?
Ice, that's your good.
Man, what you think all about right, that?
I think that's my favorite ice? Of the challenge.
You're going to say Jasmine.
Is Dr. Miami.
Motherfucker, you ain't got my bars.
Yo.
You had two bars.
Dr. Miami's stunning, though.
Dr. Miami's a great name.
Yeah, he had the best one. I tried to tell y'all. Y'all trying to take a chance to rap and all these other people.
Ooh. No, I didn't say that. She I didn't even hear it.
She definitely got up on it.
Pause.
How's that a pause?
It's a chick. Pole it's a, jumping. It's a chick. Got up
how's
on
that
it.
A pause?
It's got a up chick. On it. Pole
yeah, the
jumping.
Chick got on it. The
pause
chick.
Is a sexual reference.
She got up on a pole. Yeah,
she got on a pole.
She won that gold.
She definitely won.
It's a sexual reference.
All right. So why would you pause it?
No. Yeah. I'm saying pause to what he said.
How? I'm a dude looking at.
Today I went and spent like 10 G's. I just did a show and spent the check on my mama. When I go and vacay, I might run up the behind.
Can you come and eat some of this Chicago pussy?
I smell pussy.
Yeah, nigga, when we see your ass, we gon' cut your hair off and fuck you with a broomstick.
Think about it, punk motherfucker.
Prisoner, like a hostage, yo. You should have covered your motherfucking head like an ostrich. Deep in the dirt, cause you're a sucker. And your ass up high, so I can kick the motherfucker. Don't try to hang your best avoid. Cause if I put a piece of bar up your ass, you'll get hemorrhoids. Where you try to fuck with Ren, I put two on your ass, and you be shit inside the head.
First come, first serve. Whoever's got the nerve, step up and give it you deserve. Of the word of my motherfucking hip hop man.
Fuck back. How the fuck you think a rap will last with your ass?
set the past. Yo, be original, your shit is sloppy. You rock the shit, you motherfucking carbon copy. Falling deep in the drums for many a thousand. One of the reasons a nigga ran 100 miles, cheating and outbeating the crowd. I kept seating, but we motherfuckers biting off, and they kept eating the styles. They kept us full of bull, cause the focus was local at nightclubs, and not getting paid for. Only reason niggas beating your record is cause they thought it was up. Yo, giving what I gotta give, doing what I gotta do. You don't give a piece, so who gives a fuck about you? You can't harm me, alarm me. Cause we're the generals in this fucking hip-hop army. The niggas with attitudes that you didn't know. We blow, flow, and didn't move slow from the get-go. Yo, title to take it. Yo, fuck this shit, yell and kick the break in.
It's real fact. You are now.
You run, but you can't hide. You know I'ma find you, cause a nigga like Red's only 2 steps behind you. Don't look back, because you're shaking and all scared. A nigga in black can be your scariest nightmare. So see that the lights on, forget that the fight's on. Don't step on the motherfucking stage without lights on. Go see a psycho, and then you just might go. Mentally fucked up, went on in the right floor. All these niggas with the chipper chapper, but couldn't kill a fly with a motherfucking sledgehammer. Gangsters and black are out there, but only because, yo, it's the shit that we wear. Hold my motherfucking dick. But I'ma love it when you drop like a motherfucking brick. So yo, step off, go to bed. Cause if you're misled, you get a motherfucking bullet in your forehead.
Black, the good, the bad, the ugly, see? A little streetwise nigga, you know me. Rollin' with some real niggas, plan for me. But you motherfuckers know who runs the streets with that hardcore hip-hop rap shit.
Now how much harder can another nigga get?
That hardcore hip-hop rap shit.
Just like us,
ashes to ashes and dust to dust.
So nigga, 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 please sit your own the dick. Watch you drop to your knees. Cause I'm a motherfucker that's out to kill. Easy E, a nigga that's real.
Real niggas. Straight up shit on common. Quick to get in your shit without a second thought. And if your ass gets smoked, it's my bullet you caught. So if you're talking shit about the niggas in black, bow down to the kings and right ahead.
They played out fast when niggas were chatting. One nigga left and they said we ain't happened. People had thought we was finishing and done with. But if you think about it, yo, we really ain't done shit. Yeah, so cover your ears and wipe your tears. And quit sniffing all over my dick for new ideas. And when the new record comes, I'll come like a fucking bump. I got a fucking money to buy you a fucking crumb. You're all the dicks of four niggas, not one. And when it comes to dicks, you don't even have one. So brace yourself to make sure you don't get fucked up. Cause if I let you slide, it's just that you're locked up. Don't come on my face again because I'm a lawyer. And if you're a bitch, I'm a fuck. And ignore ya, because my attitude's a little bigger. Cause it's the friend, it's part of a real nigga. Lost in the motherfucking world of madness, sadness. The bridge just a nigga that's glad it. Suck a motherfucker like you, nigga, whack jam. Because it only shows you how dope I am. Never try to ignore this. When I'm expressing fans feel like a full of rigor mortis. Cause I'm a real nigga, but I guess you're bigger. So break me, take me, but watch me pull the trigger. Bridge just a nigga with heart, a nigga that's smart. A nigga that's paid to stay with others and scared to play. Started out with too much cargo, so I'm glad we got rid of Benedict Arnold. Yo, N.W.A. criticize for what we say, but I'ma do this shit anyway. Cause I'm the motherfucking doctor, never faking. Yo, yeah, I kick the motherfucking break in.
It's the real thing. You are now. You motherfuckers, the real thing. You are now.
N.W.A. straight out of motherfucking Compton, taking over shit with all of the 1990s. Yo, Dr. Dre, DJ Yella, Easy Easy, and I am MC Ren. Yo, N.W.A. taking over this motherfucker, y'all.
Backspin.
More of the hits you want to hear. More of the hits you want to hear. More of the hits you want to hear.
Sirius XM.
Oh.
Oh.
Looks like I've been cooking. It looks like I've been cooking. It looks like I've
been cooking. We gon' get it out of the mouth. You smoke.
I smoke.
I drink.
Me too.
Oh, good. We gon' get it out of the mouth.
And don't touch nothing.
Same, same song on two stations at the same time.
Either we loving or I see them all. Now we're speeding up the west side. Hand creeping up the left side. I'm ready to do it. Ready to bone. Ready for dome. 55th exit. Damn. Damn. Already we home. Now let's get it on.
Now I'm on.
Me too.
Oh, good.
We're
going to
get
it.
Yeah.
stress good enough, cause nobody brings out vibes. I'm so high, I'm on point, and I can tell that you're jealous by the look in your eyes.
Johnny Nash was born on this day in 1940, and they're playing all the Johnny Nash classics on the joint. That's the very best in reggae, 42 on Sirius XM. From Stax Records, is Luther Ingram. This was his greatest hit as a solo artist. He also helped co-write the song Respect Yourself by the Staples Singers. Very, very talented artist. Luther Ingram right now in my Jeff Fox.
Whether they held up their end of the bargain and got you staying as ninth gold, and
that's what synchronized swimming is.
In a rookie season.
Thanks. When you get to a quarterback,
Slate kicks off with the cracker is Manchester.
That's a genius. Grab the keys. We're going to the game.
Always available. Always 100%.
Be in that company there. So you know what? If Drew wants to get me so wasted right now that he wants to take advantage of me, I'm going to have 3 caipirinhas, which is just...
No overtime.
Petty has ball handed to his right.
Coming up 10 to Boston. This is the home of Detroit.
Here we are, Brad Keselowski. Oh, a couple of things to cover with you, Brad. And first of all, man...
Well played, Derek.
Him now.
Even though they had 2-shot lead starting the day.
It's non-stop color.
Your All-American comedy that you love. Backstage interviews.
Love All-American comedy. That's the first thing I look for in comedy. Is it All-American?
Friends, they mention me. Jim Flair's Comedy Roundup is on right now. Check it out.
Sirius XM 97. Or listen on the Sirius XM app. You're going to love it. I promise.
Amen.
Oh, thank you for saying that at the end.
The greatest comedians of all time. SiriusXM Comedy Greats.
Star players and top coaches from college football's powerhouse.
What's on the All-American Comedy? Oh, it's Larry the Cable Guy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you gotta make that right. You gotta make that right. Then you got some of these other commercials make literally no sense at all. They think we all idiots. What kind of an incentive is this? You see that online poker commercial? Spend $50 online, you can gamble with the top five poker players in the world. I want to gamble with the five worst poker players in the world, for God's sake. That's $50. And some companies advertise, don't even need to advertise. Everybody likes what they do. I don't know why they spend the money. Like Oral Cookies. Who in the hell ever eat Oral Cookie? They got commercials for Oral Cookies. Everybody likes Oral Cookie. You could go to the deepest jungles of New Guinea, have all them jungle pygmies run around there, hold up Oral Cookie. They'd be like, hoo, 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 hoo. They'll stab it with a spear. And
all American Comedy.
Because everybody likes Oral Cookies. But they got a commercial out right now. It says Oral Cookies taste great with milk. No kidding. Here all this time I've been rolling them up in a tortilla with lima beans and cheese, for God's sake. I wish somebody told me about that milk. I bet that sounds delicious right there, that milk.
You say you're from Detroit, you're on vacation, people get scared of you. I found that out the hard way. I say it from Detroit, they look at me funny, like I'm in a fucking gang. Look at me. The Polish counts. Yeah, well, fuck yeah. It's even worse that people visit us. What do? Where do you go around here? It's like, you guys want to go look at the big tire? You want to take a ride by the house where Kid Rock buys his crack? Got the casinos, they're down there taking everyone's money. There's people down there losing trailer lot rent in the craft stable. The people that shouldn't be losing money are down there losing it. I'm surprised they don't have shopping cart valet. Can I get $4 in returnables on red? What do you mean you don't take Faygo? It's just 10 cent. Am I right in the fog? I want my bet. Guys, go on the freeways around here. I love that 696. That's got to be the fastest moving ditch I've ever been down into my life. I'm out there doing 100. I got guys in Geo Metros blowing by me on the shoulder. All wearing their helmets. These people are doing slalom through construction zones.
For complete information on this...
Very good regional comedy about freeways near Detroit.
It's like cow. He's going, cow. It's a nice stop it. It's a Carl, C-A-R-L, and oh, Carl. Yeah, Carl, cow, call whatever you want, I get. It's like ordering breakfast. I thought I was talking English on the phone. Okay, mate, can I have some breakfast? I'm sorry, sir. Hello, can I have some breakfast? What would you like, sir? Can I have some rolled oats? I'm sorry? Rolled oats. He's going, rolled oats? I said, yeah, rolled oats. You know when you say a word long enough, it starts to sound weird even to you? Rolled oats. He said, I'm sorry, sir, what are rolled oats? No, I don't really know anymore. I just want some, have you got some? He said, who is this? I said, it's Carl. Who? I said, Carl. I've been practicing my very bad French walking around here. It's not very good. You know, when I grew up in Australia, people said, oh, if your French isn't perfect, the French won't talk to you, they'll just ignore you. You know, I know how to say hello in English and make it sound normal. Hello. You know, I know how to put the feeling into it. But, you know, bonjour, I don't know how to make it sound normal. I don't know what it sounds like to the French. Maybe they go, bonjour. To them, it might sound like, hello.
I did it to you. I'm as guilty of it as anybody. You have to watch The People versus OJ and the documentary series.
The documentary
series.
They're both amazing.
Robin, what do you think he should watch first, though?
Because well, the way I watched it was first the miniseries.
That's what
and
I'm going to do.
The
I think that's the way to go.
Yeah.
I do what Robin does, so I'm doing that. Beth and I decided we're going to watch that.
Yeah,
because we need a show to watch together because we ran out of episodes of
The Bachelor.
And The Bachelor's not.
Well, you think it's cum stains on it?
It could be. I don't know where
right there.
All right, good enough.
God,
oh, I see. It says Jersey Shore Massacre. Jersey Shore Massacre.
Yeah.
Why you call it Devil Askey?
I don't know the proper name for it.
Yeah, it's called Jersey Shore Massacre.
Yeah.
Film you're in. You say when you were on set, there was a bit of an on-set romance, that one of the actresses had fallen in love. Whoop, there you go.
What
whoops.
Happened?
Headphones. That's all right. Now it's on backwards. Bigfoot.
Now I got it.
You say, well, yeah, it's fine. When you were acting, you say one of the actresses fell in love with you. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And what happened there? Was there an on-set romance?
It was almost a romance.
And then she sat
in my lap, he did.
Yeah, and then that was the end of it. They never went any further.
Yeah, it never went any farther than that.
And you can't find her.
No.
She disappeared?
I don't panic. I'm not a panicker. But she has...
Right.
Sure. WWEshop.com. Yes. Buy one today. Buy 10 today.
You, yeah.
You can watch us wear them on the WWE Network Sunday at SummerSlam.
Exactly.
Yeah, I won't put him on the spot, but I remember having a conversation with New Japan Carl Anderson about the fact that the royalties were so sweet. Yeah.
The royalties did not add up.
Not at all. I don't think they realized how many they were going to sell. And just look, they're all over the place here. Yeah. I started talking like Ferg there for a second. I don't know who that is either.
Finn Balor.
Oh!
Prince Devin.
What do you want to... Is there any sort of... Do you care now, or are you just riding the wave? Like, is it... Because the question would be, like, what do you want to do? Do you want to team with Ferg? Do you want to face him? Do you want... Or are you just like, you know what? It's worked out really well so far. Maybe we should just ride this wave. Yeah, man, we're happy doing anything. We're happy being here. It's where we always wanted to be. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like we always wanted to be in WWE. We were happy other places, but to this is where we wanted to be. Just being here is ridiculously cool. Being here with my friends is cool. And, you know, whatever they do with us, man, we're just riding the wave.
We're definitely riding the wave. And then, you know, it's so cool to see two of our best buddies in Finn Balor and AJ Styles. And, I mean, they're at the top of the game and the top of the landscape in the entire industry right now. So, definitely a lot of wave riding going on. We're all having a great time, and we didn't see this coming, like you said. So.
Were you surprised that you got drafted away? Like, it seemed like you guys and AJ were onto this thing that was big.
Yeah.
And when you guys got separated, is that a surprise to everybody?
It was a legitimate surprise to us, but again, it's like, okay, new challenge, conquer it. So, and we needed to prove that we could stand on our own, and I think we're doing that. So
yeah,
that's very motive as well.
Yeah, there's a .com video somewhere where it actually shows the actual reaction.
I saw it, and I felt bad because it seemed like AJ was like, oh, no, and you guys were like, yeah,
well,
brother.
He thought we were ribbing him. He was like, no, there's for real. There's
we're going to run together tomorrow.
There's
come on.
There's the name. Here's the name. Throw it up.
Nah, we're gone.
You can see in the video, like, Gallows is telling AJ, and AJ gets sad. I'm over here telling Jericho, and Jericho goes, really? it's real.
It is what it is. What was it like, Gallows, to be a young guy in the ring with The Undertaker? It was unbelievable. I just turned 24 years old when I did that match, and, you know, being a big guy in wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, you look up to the Phenom.
Yeah.
And I went to TV one day, and they're like, oh, yeah, you're wrestling The Undertaker. And I went, wait, hold on, who, me? Why? What? Oh,
yeah. Why are you doing that?
Oh, Lord, okay, cool. But it was nerve-wracking, but it was a lot of fun. And, you know, it's still one of my favorite memories, especially for that point in my career or whatever. It was absolutely the pinnacle of it. And it's a pretty good match.
Yeah. Can you tell that story about when Finn called you and told you you were okay?
Nope.
Please. That was great.
Yeah, I was in developmental, and I was 21, and you know, they wanted to look at my character or whatever, so I get the 203 call and I'm in the grocery store. It's the Fink, but like I think that it's a joke because he goes, "Hello, this is Howard Finkel." "Excuse me? This is Howard Finkel." "Oh, man, really?" "Yes. You were booked on this weekend's live event series, and you'll be taking on Kane." But you're still going, like, he's got his ring announcer voice on the phone. Like, this guy's more awesome than I could ever imagine. So then he's like, you know, he's doing the travel at this point. He's not ring announcing stuff anymore. So he's like, your hotel will be the Marriott. And you will pick up your rental car from Budget. So, like, I'm going, okay, great. So then I'm like, okay, it's not a joke. This is great. Thank you so much, sir. I really appreciate it. I'm going to do my best. And then right before we hang up, he goes, oh, and one more thing. Watch out for that choke slam.
Then click, right?
So I immediately called my trainer. I go, is this real? And he goes, yeah, it's real. You don't want to go? I go, yeah, I want to go. I don't know, man. Relax. It didn't That's sound amazing. Real, though.
And it is. I love the voice, too, because he did the... You guys that listen to the podcast know he did the voice work for the podcast.
Yeah, we flew him to Japan to do the entrance.
But he when he was doing the voice work for my podcast, he said that... And I'm not going to even attempt the impression, but he told me, I'm going to give you two versions, and one is like Howard Finkel, which is kind of like what you just did, and then he said he really thinked it up. In the other version,
really,
that was like
himself.
Yeah, that was like WrestleMania 8 Hoosier Dome, yeah. Like Howard Finkel.
Where did we see him at?
Yes, he told you.
I hear you have
at the
Garden.
Yeah,
somewhere.
They were saying to
you. I said you have a decent impression.
That's not true. He said, I hear you have a great impression. I'm looking forward to hearing it. Like,
yeah, maybe.
Either way, he said it like the Fink says it.
That's right. That's how he said it.
So, Gallows has been everywhere already when he meets you. He's been in WWE. He's been in TNA. He's in New Japan now. You have not been in WWE.
Yeah.
So, the way a lot of people... You know, you ask WWE guys, like, oh, like, if you ask Cena, like, who do you want to work with, like, that's outside of WWE? You've already been with everybody in Japan, and you've wrestled Nakamura, and you've wrestled Balor, and you've done all this. So did you have in your mind, like, I want to get in the ring with some of these WWE guys?
Yeah, I always wanted to get in the ring with John Cena, and I didn't realize I'd be beating him up live on Monday Night Raw. I mean, for real. Like...
Hashtag beat up John Cena.
I mean, who doesn't want to work with John Cena? It's like that's the top of the top, you know.
Right.
So I never thought I'd get a chance to work any of these guys. Randy Orton would be. I'd love to get into Randy. I think he's unbelievable. I could just name them all up. Get in the ring with New Day this weekend. Like these guys are guys that we were watching. You know, in Japan, we were keeping an eye on what was going on. It's just.
And you didn't get that taker match, though.
Man. No,
you didn't get that taker
match. That's true. Sure didn't.
So Heath Slater.
We love Heath Slater.
Heath is a great brother. I mean, it's just the line. It's just everybody, man. All the locker room is great. The boys are cool. You know, we're friends with Y2J now, man. It's
right.
Great.
Is there a separation between good brothers and not good brothers in the locker room? Is there a good brother clique?
I will say this. Right now, I think there's more good brothers assembled than I can ever remember in any locker room I've ever been in. And that's a testament to the boys and the girls in the back and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of really good people back there. But, yeah, there have been times in the past when there were some unbrotherly brothers, for sure.
I don't like that.
I don't either.
Yeah, the locker room is full of good brothers, man. But, you know, if you go other places, there's not always so full of good brothers. Like so. But, yeah, a lot of good brothers here.
Do you think the good brother trend could bring back something like wrestler court? Could bring back that sort of...
It would be really hard for me to take it serious, but I could see it happening.
I think I think what works right now, at least what we've seen, is that, you know, the guys leave each other alone, man. Like, we do our thing, they do their thing, we're respectful to each other, and it's been, I don't see the need for any of that kind of stuff.
It's a very supportive group of guys and girls, you know what I mean? Everybody wants to see each other do well, so the business does well, so the fans are happy, and that's just a great, positive environment to work in.
How long does it take for you to realize that that's what it is? Because I'm assuming some of the places that you've been, you're like, okay, everybody seems like they really want me to succeed. Like, what's the deal?
Well, like, there was a lot of trepidation because we didn't know it would be like that.
Right.
You know, so... kind of walked in, we're like, hey, we got to watch out for each other, the three of us are going to watch each other's backs, you know, we're not going to let anything go down. And then we got there, and you know, the first few weeks, a month, we went, these guys are great, this is awesome.
Yeah, we figured out pretty quick, man. The locker room's great, the boys are great. It's been really, really cool.
Yeah. Is there any, I mean, so you don't have necessarily goals now
I mean,
either.
I guess I want to break away from him and be the world heavyweight champion.
Well, there's no way you can beat me, so I don't think that's going to happen. I wrestled The Undertaker, for God's sakes.
You win. we want to be on the very top of everything. We're riding the wave, but we want to be the best, just like everybody.
Absolutely.
You know, we want to just
what we love. This is all we've ever wanted to do since I was about 4 or 5 years old. They said, this is our dream job, man. So we want to be on top.
Is there an art to faction life? So it's just as we're sitting here talking, I'm like, okay, Gallows goes from...
I'm a faction man.
You are. You go from Straight Edge Society, which I think everybody loved.
Yep.
You know, and that's one of those things that... And that's one of those things that look back on, even now when you watch it, like, oh, what could have happened here? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Ace is an Ace, which at the time was arguably the only good thing on that TV show.
No comment.
Then you go to Bullet Club. Then you come back here and do the club. Is there an art to being the right member and figuring out how to make this whole faction work?
You just got to be the best good brother that you can be.
It's all about the good brother.
That's right.
It's just timing, right?
Yeah, it's timing and a lot of luck and I think a little bit of skill. And then, you know, as you go along, you evolve and become hopefully a better performer and, you know, more of an asset to these cliques or factions or whatever it may be. So, yeah, I've been really lucky with all that.
How important is that genuine chemistry?
I think it's very important. And I think, like, him and I, like, I was just coming to New Japan to do one tour. And we had one match in Cork and Hall, and we were like, all right, like, this is a thing. And then went out for dinner and had a good time, and, like, we've pretty much been inseparable ever since. So, like, the chemistry with us was automatic, and it was real. And I think you can tell when you see people perform like that, you know, if it's a real connection. And obviously, we're having fun, so hopefully that makes the audience have fun as well.
Sometimes we talk like Stone Cold to each other. Like this. But... I go home to my hot Asian wife, and like she walks by the bathroom and she goes, "Really?" And I go, "What?" I go, "What?" You know? She opens the door and she goes, "I can hear you talking like Stone Cold, but I'm in the bathroom just looking in the mirror, don't cut myself a little promo."
We got to a point in Japan where, like, if we were doing a small, like, untelevised show where it was hard to have a serious match because anytime either one of us would tag in like, an 8-man tag or something, we were just doing Stone Cold offense and Stone Cold voice to make the other one laugh. Look at me stomping a butthole in it right now.
We had a big match on a pay-per-view over there, and Nick Makabe got in the ring, and I went, "Get up out of here, out of my face." And he looks at me and goes, "Really?
Really?" I said, you can't do that, man. No.
I don't know what it is about Stone Cold, but it's just, it never stops being fun. I was walking through the mall the other day with my wife, and I just kept cutting the Austin 316 promo on her.
It's so fun to talk like Stone Cold. He's got one of the best voices of all time for this business. Like,
yeah, the bus ride from Sendai, Japan to Tokyo is, just say, 6 hours.
Right.
We did it for 6 hours. AJ goes back and forth for 6 freaking hours. I can't take it anymore.
Neither one of you took church to Steve Austin, okay?
I'm sorry, AJ. I can't stop doing it.
Keep talking to me like Adam will dump you on your chin.
I can't stop doing it now.
Yeah, it's real hard.
There's also something special.
It's real hard.
Those are not great Stone Cold impressions. But
there's also something special about when you can do an impression like that, but then incorporate yourself. Like, I don't think I ever heard Stone Cold cut a promo about how much he liked Bud Light Lime, but all of a sudden, Stone Cold Steve Austin likes those B-double L's.
Give me a B-double-L up in this. And then we got to meet Steve, man. He was awesome.
It's great. Did he know the impression?
I don't think he knew the impression.
I don't know if he knows the impression.
I don't think Stone Cold cares. Yeah.
You know, no,
but... Big hug, talked to him for like 15 minutes, and I'm just looking at him, like, listening to his voice. Going, this rules, man. Son, how you doing? You're in Japan for 8 years, right? Yes, sir. You're giving me more material, man. Just like, here, let's talk.
What's amazing about him, too, I mean, you talk about good brothers, the fact that, like, you know, he's, to me, I think, best wrestler of all time, like he's the biggest
icon of everything
of wrestling, and he still likes wrestling.
He still likes it. He's talking to us about stuff we did in Japan, and we're like, "You watched that?"
Yeah, awesome. I literally, the first time I met him, I walked by in the hallway, and he sticks his head out and goes, "Was you gonna walk by me?" I went, "No, sir." He goes, "I didn't think so." Now I'm just like, "Can we pull aside and talk?"
Yeah,
I was like, "But they said that to me because he wanted to talk to me about wrestling, man."
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's great. He's a man.
How many more interactions do you think you have to have with him before you start talking like him to him.
That might take us a little while. I don't know if we're going to fire up on old Stone Cold just yet.
I saw him last before he did the podcast with Ambrose. I go, Steve's, we're buddies now, you know. I go, big hug, and he goes, doggone son, how much cologne did you put on? Some people put on stuff on when they walk into the room and you just realize they put too much on. I was like, well, is that me, Steve? But then at that point, he started talking to Sasha Banks and he'd forgotten I was even there. It's true, though.
Naturally.
I guess I put too much on that.
Yeah, you did.
So, club aside, let's say everything pre-New Japan. If that's what you had in your career, Luke Gallows, what do you point at as that's the best moment? Is it the straight edge stuff?
Yeah, it's a tie between that and that Undertaker match, honestly. Because the straight edge stuff was awesome, and I loved working with my buddy doing that too. But as like a singular moment, I think, you know, the Undertaker match was probably my favorite thing.
What goes through your head, now that you're in a better position, we can talk about it, what goes through your head when you're lumped in with the, okay, we're releasing this many people today, and your name's on the list?
Well, it was, I was 26, right. So I didn't go like, oh, no. And I think the most important thing, too, was like to turn that negative into a positive and just know that you were going to come back. So, like, I got released on a Friday. I wrestled on Saturday. The following week, I went to Japan for Antonio Inoki and then, like, started doing all this crazy stuff on my own. I started going to Africa, which was a huge mistake. I didn't know that then, but, yeah, the great Power Rudy was there. They tried to shoot me with machine guns. It was awesome. But, you know, you got to go do that stuff and live a little bit and reinvent yourself, you know. And then, you know, I went to the other company and then I went to Japan and all of that. So, like, I never thought.
I think they know what company you're talking about.
Weird. WrestleMerica? No. But I always thought in my head, like, I'm going to go back someday. But then once we got to Japan, we were doing great. We were making a great living. We were very content. So when this came up, it was just like a feather in the cap of all of it, you know? So
did you think Japan was going to work for you?
Yeah.
And you did.
We found our niche and stuff like that, and we were happy, you know? It was an intense schedule because sometimes you'd be gone 8-9 weeks at a time. But, like, we loved what we were doing, and we got along great, and we were having a lot of fun. And then this came up, and I went, oh, man, there it is again. It's perfect. So you got to jump on it.
What about you, Carl Anderson? Is Japan something, when you're a young guy, are you like, I want to get to Japan, or are you going, okay, this is where it's taking me?
Well, you know, when I first started training, of course I wanted to be in the WWE. Like, that's all I ever wanted to do. But then once I started training, as a kid, I wanted to be in WWE. It's all I ever wanted.
Did you have a WWE name picked out when you were a kid?
Yeah, of course.
What was it?
Big Love.
Makes sense.
Just because.
Yeah. It's the Big Love, Carl Anderson.
Of course.
With his hot Asian wife.
Yeah,
with his hot.
Yeah. She wasn't there yet, though, yeah.
That'd be great, though, if your hot Asian wife, we just call you Big Love. Feels very American.
She lots of things.
Pass the salt, Big Love.
Like idiot. Now, once I started training, man, I don't know. All I wanted to do was make a living in pro wrestling. It's all I ever wanted to do. Once I started training, I realized I wanted to go to England. I used to say this crazy plan. I want to, you know, be an indie guy that gets flown somewhere. Then I want to be an indie guy that gets to go across seas. And I want to go work in Japan. And then I'll do everything. Then I want to go to WWE. I had this crazy plan, and it actually did it.
It worked.
I know.
Yeah,
and it doesn't, that's why, it's still, my dad called me today and he goes, man, I still have not accepted this yet. You're in the WWE. I said, me either, man. I don't know what's going on.
Is that a scary move, though? Because ultimately, that's like the culmination of everything you dreamed of. And if it goes, it's going to go one way or the other. It's like you have to maintain that positivity about it.
No, we had no choice. We had to come to WWE.
And we were confident in our ability, too, by the time we got here. You know, I think when you come when you're really young in your career, like I did the first time, like, you don't know what's going to happen. You're scared. You're nervous and stuff. But this time we were like, we're going to rock it. And so far we've done pretty well.
It was time. We weren't scared. We weren't scared about it. We were, of course, nervous, changing. But we knew we had to come to the WWE.
When we ran out in the Staples Center, because we were behind the curtain, that was the first time I think either one of us was nervous, because it was like, when we were about to run out, we're like, oh, what if they don't know who we are? And then they did, and we were like, okay, perfect. We're ready to go. So.
Well, right before we ran out, I looked at my friend, and I went, let's act like this is the Gastonia Armory. Just where we were last summer. And he was like, you're right, man. And then we,
that's it.
Bam. Made you sound like AJ all of a sudden.
You're right, man. Freak you.
And then Vince is back there watching, going, why didn't we sign this guy earlier? And, well,
because he's infected.
Shh, quiet.
Well, look, not only are you both in WWE now, you're on Broadway, baby. You're at Caroline's. This is amazing.
Too sweet at Caroline's.
We're going to take a break, but we're going to come back. We're going to do some Q&A. What do you think? We're going to see what the people,
right. See what you guys got.
What they have to say. All right, we'll take a break. Katie Linendahl is here. Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows. We'll be back. More Sam Roberts Show Live right after this. Thank you.
Those guys seem like maybe they're okay. I think they just have kind of like a generic look, you know? It's just like, check us out, we're bald dudes. Like, it's just... But, the first time I saw them together at, like, Wrestle Kingdom, like, 3 years ago or whatever it was, seeing Anderson, like, do, like, seeing him, like, pick up fake guns and turn around and shoot the screen and have the fucking screens behind them get shot or whatever, it was like, all right, this is a beautiful level of dumb that is pretty fucking rad.
Particularly well-funded and have a strong business or development background, developing a reach of the country through an area of representative. Scooters Coffee could be Amazon.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. Supplies are limited, so don't wait. Call 1-800-933-1348. 1-800-933-1348.
Here we're live. We're at Caroline's SummerSlam weekend.
SummerSam weekend.
That's
biggest
right.
Party of the summer.
SummerSam.
Summer of Sam.
Yeah.
This is what it is.
Yeah.
And those live on the WWE Network. This Sunday is SummerSlam.
SummerSlam.
$9.99.
Those are the voices of Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, and Katie Linendahl. I'll let you pick who. I don't know if you can figure it out on your own.
What about this one?
He's a
good. Had a little more water, man.
But let's, I'm going to open it up to Q&A. And I'm going to tell you, like, everybody's allowed to ask whatever questions they want. But no, like, hey, can you do, don't ask for impressions. Like,
come on.
Try to be a little creative. Like, figure out a way you can ask where it would lead into it. But don't ask for impressions. But beyond that, it's all, it's all on the table. Who's got some questions?
Shield,
hands
baby.
Up. Hands up. Kathy Kelly is going to help us out by being the moderator.
Kathy.
What is your name and where are you from?
Moses. I'm from
DC.
Shirt rocking.
Too sweet.
I've got a question. If they do a WWE ride-along, could you get Hacksaw Jim Duggan again?
I would love to get Hacksaw Jim Duggan again. He's amazing.
Dude,
yes.
That was amazing. I wish, man. Hacksaw is the man. We had an awesome time. We rode with Hacksaw for like 2 hours in the car. We drank a bunch of pops. Talked turkey. It was awesome, man.
You gotta be PG.
He said a soda pop. It was
I remember.
Right.
He was passing out the soda pop, kid.
Who's next?
Okay.
This dude right here.
What is your name and where are you from?
Heaven, and I'm from New York.
Oh, he's learning.
So.
Yeah.
Awesome. This is the kid. Earlier, he didn't know. I said, is anyone from outside of New York? And he was like, yeah, the Bronx?
I like your shirt, too.
Thank you.
Great
What's
shirt.
Your question?
What WrestleMania did you watch?
What WrestleMania did you watch?
Well, when I was a kid, WrestleMania 8 was my favorite.
Yes.
I loved WrestleMania 8.
That was just for that Reba McEntire national anthem, right?
Gallows and I sat in Dallas in the hotel room this year.
Yeah.
And watched the
watched
entire
WrestleMania
and loved it. So, because we thought we were debuting the next day, but we did not.
So that's probably why you love it. You're like, oh man, this is so good.
And we're going to be there tomorrow.
We're debuting.
And we get a text that says you're not. And it's fine.
All right, well, we're going to come eat the catering.
Who's next? Who do we got over there? I see somebody over there.
Hi, I'm CJ. I'm from New Jersey. If you guys could pick, like, as a team or singles, like your dream opponents, who would they be?
Oh. Dream
as a team, 100% the Rock and Roll Express.
I think we.
Yeah.
Now, are you talking about in their prime or like indie Rock and Roll Express right
Either
now?
Either way.
Okay. Because they're still doing it.
I wrestled the Rock and Roll Express.
D'Lo
and I did.
Before we came back here, we were trying to get a match
we're
with
trying
them
to get
at the Gastonia
we were
Armory.
Seeking the Rock and Roll Express.
We're selling 50 a pop and then sell our gimmicks on the side. Okay, there was a little chump change. Right?
All right, you've talked enough today.
I think me, for singles match, man, Randy Orton would be my dream.
Wow.
Line.
Yeah.
John Cena, Randy.
Yeah, I've had a lot of them, I think, already. But, like, if you could, I don't know, Shawn Michaels probably, for sure.
Yeah. That's a good answer. I see you over there.
Yes, we have Ashley from Brooklyn.
Hello, I just wanted to know, because you guys came into WWE.
By the way, can I just say something? You know, I can tell Kathy Kelly is a professional. You see, I did not let her hands off that microphone.
Oh.
She was going for it. She was trying. She was Kathy. Was like, I'll be holding it.
Some kid tried to steal it over the break.
I would never do that. You guys came into WWE. You were pretty established already. When you got the call, were you a little nervous that they would underutilize you when you came onto the main roster?
I don't think so. I mean, we definitely wondered what was going to happen, but I think we were really confident. at that point.
Yeah. The best thing about us is, you know, I think we're very respectful brothers, but we've always had a lot of confidence in ourselves and our abilities to do anything.
Yeah, we felt like wherever they put us, so we could find a way to stand out and be okay. So yeah.
Do you feel like with enough confidence, though, if you did were proposed a gimmick that you didn't like, that you wouldn't take it? You oppose it?
We do whatever we're told.
We would find a way to master it now, I like to think.
I think we could do it.
What if they were like, we're going to have a tag team of Demon Canes?
And both of you are going to be caned.
That'd be awesome. Do it.
I think that's something we want to do.
We're going to pitch that tomorrow.
Against the Rock and Roll Express.
Now.
I think you both just want to work on your like voice box impression.
I just want to wrestle the Rock and Roll Express. Bad. Who's
next?
Nadir
from New Jersey.
Should I stand? I don't know. All right, cool. Yeah, keep it comfortable here. You're good. Relax, dog. You go. You got to stand up.
Yeah, of course. My question is actually for Carl Anderson. I wanted to know, how do you feel about dropping the machine gun name? Because I loved it, man.
Yeah, it's still there and alive, brother. It's still alive for the people that know. You know, I think, you know, the
hell yeah.
The WWE, man, is it's a PG product, you know, and that, I think it's just, it's important that, you know,
hot
just
Asian white.
Leave it where it is, you know. Leave it where it is. It's still there, you know, but I think to leave it where it is.
And you know what? You're getting away with some pretty good nuance without going so literal. The fact that, you know, you're going on an PG show and being like, we're doctors who steal people's testicles. So I'm like, that's pretty good.
Pretty good.
I think some, you know, I think maybe someday it'll pop up, you know. We'll, you know, keep your eyes open for it though.
Awesome. We're back here with Yancey from New Jersey. Bronx.
I know
Bronx, New Jersey.
Yeah, Yancey from the Bronx.
Bronx is in New York.
hello. This is for both of you. If you could make like
me and Carl?
Yeah, you and Carl, Sam. Gallows and Edison, if you could make any stable.
You gotta specify.
Jesus Christ, I got that while I was kidding. Sam, like, you know.
if you two could make any stable name, even if it doesn't have to involve either of you, what stable name would you pick and who would it be?
Good Brothers. Us.
The Rock and Roll Express 2.0. I'm Punky Daddy.
You, me, Ricky, and Robert. Well, I was going to ask if you could add anybody to your Good Brothers faction. Who would it be?
Ricky and Robert. Yes.
Ricky and Robert seems like an obvious one. Kathy, who do we have over there?
Hey, I'm Kayla. I live in Queens. In your experience, here in WWE, honestly, our fan base can be a little rowdy and disrespectful sometimes. How does that compare to the fan base in New Japan?
I haven't seen the WWE be disrespectful at all. I mean, if the fans come and they cheer or they boo or they chant whatever they want, I think as long as they're having fun, I don't care.
I mean, that's the fun part about being part of the WWE universe is you get to express yourself however you want. We haven't, like you said, we haven't had anybody.
These guys are fucking tight with their fucking answers. These guys are some straight up company men. They're getting it done.
The Japanese audience is just different. It's a different culture. And I mean, it's just, they're very respectful. Isn't it just a different kind of fan base? I don't know if that answers your question at all.
Right.
Rock and Roll Express.
Do you miss the Japanese fan base that would like the would go like the sponsor dinners and stuff that would take you out?
Oh, we miss that.
Yeah, you do. Well, Gallows being the carny brother he is,
right,
has found us some sponsors in America. That's been awesome.
Any of you guys want to sponsor us tonight? DM me.
We're not scared to find one right now.
World's largest Olive Garden's right.
Perfect.
Yeah. Who wants to take us? Who wants to take us? Let us eat as much as we want and drink as much as we want. That's what a sponsor does.
Right.
I mean, that's great.
Right. But we got an offer. Okay.
We had a family. We call them the Bullet Club family, and from Nagoya, and he goes, Chado.
Japanese.
Yeah, Chado. Last month, bill $7,000. All on Bullet Club. Sorry, bro. Bullet Club gets thirsty.
Hungry.
Kathy, who's next? Hi, I'm Cooney from Brooklyn. Just wanted to ask Gallows and Anderson. How do you guys feel about the title belts, the tag team title belts, the copper-looking belts compared to the old school?
Oh, like aesthetically?
Just in general, how they feel about how they
they're going to look great around our waist this Sunday at SummerSlam!
Whoa! On the WWE Network for $9.99,
right?
The perfect setup.
Hey, if they're around our waist, I don't care what they look like, because that means we're making more money. Right. Making more money, saving money on dinners, saving money on sponsored dinners.
Hi, guys. I'm Erica from New Jersey. So, I was wondering, the women's division has been getting a lot of attention lately. If you can pick one woman to be part of the club, who would it be?
Wow.
That's tough. Amber Galveston.
There's two answers.
I was thinking that for now we'll just hear what Gallows and Anderson's answers are.
There's two answers we have to say.
Our wives.
His wife and my wife.
But I think Becky Lynch is a huge club supporter, so she'd be a good addition here in the WWE.
Yeah, I met Becky 10 years ago at the Los Angeles Dojo training in Santa Monica, and we were both broke. We were all broke, man. And I think she's a good sister, so you know she'd be great.
There it is. Who's next up there, Kathy Kelly?
Here with George from Brooklyn.
Hi, guys. If you guys could be a part of any fraction from any era, what would it be?
It's Rock and Roll Express.
Bullet Club.
I wouldn't mind wrestling in the Four Horsemen, because they got to wrestle the Rock and Roll Express a lot.
Any of the good ones, the NWO, DX, I mean, I'm a faction man, so put me in any of them.
NWO me, please. NWO me.
Have you talked to any of the NWO guys about...
Yep. They love it.
They love it, right?
Nash, Hall, they all gave us Hall. Too sweet on the too sweet. They're down, yeah.
Me and Hall are on hugging basis, man. We love it. Yes.
I mean, they see it how it is. We're paying homage to something that we thought was cool when we were growing up, and we made it cool again.
Did you have to figure out where to draw the line, though? You're like, okay, obviously we're going to make our group, like, a group that we would have thought was cool when we were kids, which is NWO-esque. Do you have to figure out, like, okay, when does this become a parody or a copy, and when does it stop being a tribute?
Never. We just we literally just did whatever we wanted when we formed it, so no, I don't think we did.
The one time on the bus, Finn Balor goes, "Paul, I wonder if they think we're marks or not, I don't know." I said, "Who cares?" He goes, "Oh, you're right."
Who cares?
Yeah. You may be marks being cool. Yeah, I don't even care.
Yeah.
Those guys are marks. So what?
I am.
I don't know, because all these guys are wearing these Marks t-shirts.
Right? I'm a Mark as well, guys. Okay.
Kathy, who's we got?
We got this guy right up front.
I'm Michael from New York, and my question is, there's a rumor, it's true, it's the first part of the question, that there's a room in WWE headquarters where when you get hired, you can pick any piece of memorabilia that's like ever existed, and you can have it like delivered to your home. A, is it true? And if so, what did you take?
If it's true, we didn't get to do it yet. So I would need to get there quickly.
I don't know what I'd want.
Kathy, do you
King of the Ring throne right in my dining room table.
The World Heavyweight Championship. I mean, I like that big gold belt, man, that Ric Flair used to always have.
The real world championship. Kathy, do you know anything about this secret merch room? You're an employee over there.
Is that real?
A room? They have a whole warehouse.
What? Can you take stuff out of it?
When are we going?
It just stays there.
Sir, did you read that on the internet somewhere?
Yeah, it's called Wrestling News, Katie, and it's journalism.
Wrestling journalism, Sam.
Sam, I don't want to have to argue with you on stage. Because Nikki Bella will come out.
Uh-oh.
Hey, they were asking for it earlier during the break.
Let's go. With who? Let's go to whoever Kathy's got next.
We've got Edwin from Brooklyn.
Hey, guys. Is there any particular match that either of you or both of you have watched that made you want to do this for a living as kids or, you know, whatever?
I got, like, Sting versus Ric Flair, I think, was a Clash of the Champions.
Yeah.
Way back. I mean, I can still remember that one, man. There was a time I think Sting almost joined the Four Horsemen back in the day, and I remember as a kid I was watching it on the squiggly, because we couldn't afford the pay-per-view. And the squiggly thing was on the TV, and I was getting into it, watching it through the snow on the TV or whatever. Sting, and I think just more in general than a match, was just this, like, Ric Flair and, like, the Four Horsemen and the NWA is what I grew up watching in North Carolina.
So. I was about to say, that's the Carolina coming out at you, because all of us New Yorkers are like, What are you talking about right now? You're talking about Hogan?
I grew up in North Carolina, and so I watched NWA stuff all the time. And so when I got to go to watch WWE stuff, I was blown away by the colors and the size of these guys. I was like, man, they would beat up the Rock and Roll Express bad.
Bad. I think all of them. Like, I remember the first time I saw Jake the Snake Roberts DDT somebody and then throw the snake on him. I was like, I have to do that. I got to figure out how to do that. It's amazing.
Who's up next over there, Kathy?
Hey, I'm Jordan from Pennsylvania. How's it going, guys?
Hello, Jordan.
So, now that you guys are doctors, I was just wondering, where did you go to medical school?
The Gallows Organization for Nether Area Diseases.
Naturally.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for that, buddy.
I was trying to think of a good pun.
I went to Morris Hill College and quit to be a wrestler.
Ball State.
Ball State is the answer.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Doctor.
Whose idea was it, by the way, you're doing the promos and everything, to actually come to the ring with the doctor jackets on?
There's one man who has the deciding factor in everything. Uh-huh. His name is Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Because I have to tell you, like, I got it when I watched later, but I do my show at night, so I watch Raw on mute while I'm doing my show, and I'm like, what did they do to the club? Like, why are they wearing that? This is... You're making a bunch of ball jokes right before.
It's what we did in Japan, too. It ties into it. We used to do whatever we want and never get in trouble for it. It just feels like we're doing the same thing. It's not as weird.
Well, you might get in trouble for a little bit of this. So.
That's got to be great, though. Like, the moment where, like, you're doing this thing, and then Vince likes it so much that he wants you to wear the jackets to the ring. Like, oh, you're going to be doctors now.
I love it.
Great.
I'll be a doctor forever. I don't care.
Dr. Kane.
We have Arnold from Brooklyn.
This question is somewhat similar to the past question.
Great.
We know...
Yeah, ask it.
We have current Bullet Club members in the WWE, but can we see potential Bullet Club members in the future?
I hope so.
Anything can happen in the WWE universe. Yeah, man, sure.
All those guys are my friends, man.
Yeah, they're all very talented, and I don't see any reason why not, so...
I can see Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks and everybody coming.
I mean, that was a cheap pop. Oh, yeah, it was. They were waiting for that. That's why he asked the question. Yeah. Just say Kenny Omega. Just say the name.
Kenny is ridiculously talented. He would be unbelievable here. The Young Bucks would be unbelievable here. And I hope someday it happens. You never say never, because look at us right now. This is we said never. We had never.
Right.
Never say never.
Because
we said never.
Right.
Gallows used to say never at the sponsored dinners in Japan. He'd say, we're never going there. And I'd say, well,
never.
Maybe
say
we will. Yeah, exactly. That's right.
And they never do, but they're using it. It seems like Kenny Omega and the Bucks are both using that same strategy that you guys are, because they keep excelling. Every time you turn around, they've accomplished more and more and more.
Never die, man.
I guess not.
All of them. Fale, Tom, they're all great.
Yeah, yeah. Kathy, who do we have?
Frank from New Jersey.
All right, Frank.
If you guys can use any manager from WWE history, which guys, who would you choose?
Bobby the Brain Heenan, hands down. 100%.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, last question. Last question, Kathy.
No pressure. Matt from Long Island.
All right, Matt,
I have a question for G1 finalist Carl
2012?
Anderson.
2012?
2012, yeah. What's it like working that schedule when you're wrestling once or twice in weeks in a row, and now that you're in WWE, like, now you're working a lot too. Is it very similar? And what's the deal with the weird patches they have on? I guess, like, when they get injured or something, they have, like, the tape on them. Not in Japan, yeah. Like, the brown tape on them.
You know, I think it's just more of telling the story. Like, you know, I think that year that I went to the G1 final 2012,
congrats on that.
Yeah, thank you. I was the only second guys in until Kenny went and won the thing. But I think it's telling a story. Like, if I beat up Nagata, you know, in the first match on his arm, he's going to sell the rest of the tour, you know. It's just kind of just storytelling, you know. That schedule was tough, but every schedule we do is tough. It's, you know, it's being an entertainer and being a pro wrestler is never easy. And it's hard. It hurts. You know,
yeah, but we're living our dream, so the schedule, you know, we welcome going to new places. We just got back from Australia. We're going to China for the first time, so I think all that stuff is part of that living the dream thing. You want to go and experience new places, entertain new fans, and we get to do what we love, so we can't complain.
It's all we ever wanted to do, so this is our dream job, being here in the WWE.
And let's be honest, you've become well-traveled men. You just looked at me and said Gaijin as if it was a thing people say.
Oh, well.
It's just in your vocabulary now.
Yes.
Well, all right, let's give a round of applause to Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows.
Thank you.
They're going to be at SummerSlam Sunday night on the WWE Network, competing for the Tag Team Championship of the World. And we will be back with Kevin Owens after this here on Sam Roberts Show live from Caroline's. Thanks, everybody.
We'll be back with
Jeez.
College football is back, and SiriusXM is traveling all across the country, talking with the star players and top coaches from college football's powerhouse programs. It's your two with Coach
Did they do storyline stuff where Big E is out injured? That was the whole doctor bit, right? Is it Big E's hurt? So is that the theory? Is that how they'll do this? Big E is injured, so Gallows and Anderson take the belts off of New Day.
Steaks for 80% off. Go to omahasteaks.com and type code news in the search bar. This is an amazing
Or will he like come running out?
A large package which includes two tender mild filet mignons, two bold beefy top sirloins, four crispy chicken fried steaks, four juicy boneless
like a surprise or something.
Omaha Steaks burgers, four award-winning gourmet
SummerSlam. God. That's this weekend.
1 pound of steakhouse fries.
I guess I should watch that.
From scratch caramel apple tartlets. A
at some point.
Omaha Steaks signature seasoning plus four more burgers free. Get this limited time package for only $49.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com and type code news in the search bar and add the summer sensation to your cart. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com, type code news in the search bar, and get ready to fire up the grill.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Neely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off.
Tell me more about how I can become my own boss and start living the good life.
Find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time,
real estate. Never mind. Take over. Yeah, is that tomorrow? Yeah, I'll probably watch that. I usually watch the takeovers.
Easy to understand and awesome.
To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-972-1530. That's 1-800-972-1530. 1-800-972-1530.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device.
At some point, I got to catch up on the Cruiserweight Classic as well. I kind of when wrestling is good, I want to watch more wrestling. When the main product is bad, I don't even want to go watch good wrestling. You know? I'm probably like two or shows behind on the Cruiserweight stuff. That stuff's been great.
Good Sister after talking to Gallows and Anderson?
Yes, a good sister.
How much fun were they, huh? Like, just to be a good person, I feel like I want to make it my life's mission to somehow book them with the Rock and Roll Express. Like, I want that to come true for them. You know, that's what I want to do with my life now.
That would be a beautiful thing.
I think so, too. All right, should we get another guest out here, do you think? All right. Well, I didn't tell you which guest it was.
Is it Evan Anderhold? He's the jobber from Monday Night Raw 2 weeks ago. Come on, people, keep up.
I feel like after James Ellroy or whatever, that Ellsworth. See, I know. That's the name everybody remembers. Other than that, it's just, you know.
We love jobbers.
They're the best. They're the best, but our next guest is far from it.
Yes.
Our next guest is nothing but a winner. He's going to be at SummerSlam Sunday night in a big tag match, teaming with Chris Jericho against Enzo and Cass. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Kevin Owens. Oh, yeah. There he is. Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is here.
This chair is definitely going to break.
Yeah, I don't know if it was originally a rocking chair.
We're going to do a swap.
Yep. That's what's going to happen.
Idea.
Yep.
You gotta know your surroundings. Is that better?
It's not better.
It is.
It's not. I just noticed the wood's gone.
Huh.
If I don't make it to SummerSlam, it's Sam's fault.
That's right. I'll catch you if you fall. Alright.
That's not gonna end well for you. And I like spending time with you.
Very good. How,
Wait your turn.
How happy were you when you show up and you had the same music in NXT, when you hear that music? Because it's some of the coolest music on the roster. It fits perfectly, and it could go terribly wrong, music.
Full disclosure, I wasn't a fan of the music.
You didn't like it?
No, I just didn't feel it. And then I listened to it more and more, and I actually got the music maybe 3 months before, 2 months before I started in NXT, because I was down in NXT for 2 months before I actually had my first match. So I drive to the NXT shows where I wouldn't be wrestling, I would just be watching and drive up and down and just listen to the music and try to get a feel for it, and eventually it grew on me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now you love it.
I do, yeah. I mean, yeah. Now it's part of who I am. It just, I guess it wasn't at first, it just took some time to get used to it.
It's kind of amazing that you went through all that time just watching
the
those
first
shows.
3 months I was in NXT, so me, Finn Balor and Hideo Itami were sitting watching beginner training, guys that have never been in the ring before doing rolls. Three of us for a month, just staring. And, but that's,
you know,
just, that's the way they do it.
I have to tell you, I remember years back, 2K was doing like a press thing. Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah.
And they let us all in.
Me, Finn, and Hideo just rolling.
Yeah,
one by
like
one.
I'm videoing the thing because you, Finn, and Hideo are doing rolls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do they need to?
Now I know how to roll.
That's right. It's important. Do you feel like that's gone away, kind of? Right? Like, if you got signed today, I would think that would be a much more quick process.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've kind of changed the way they did it. They were just doing it that way because that's what they would do for everybody. As soon as you get signed, you just spend a month. It was also a matter of, you know, I relocated my entire family to Florida when I first signed with the WWE, so it was a matter of, you know, if you got to take a day off to go do something, to take care of something, of your house, or just, you know, I had to sign up my son for school, then you're not missing training. You're just missing observing training. So it was kind of their way to just get people, give some time. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now I think, Matt Bloom took over there, and I think he's kind of changed the way it is. But, honestly, I'm not, you know, that first month, of course, I could have gone without watching, you know, a dude roll for, you know, 3 hours, but NXT in itself and the time I spent there was incredibly valuable for me once I got to Raw and SmackDown and everything, so I look back very fondly on it.
Yeah.
Maybe one of my favorite stories that you shared with Sam and I was the early stages of actually coming up with the first KO shirt. Can you retell that story? It's one of the most iconic KO stories.
Well, I'm not even sure which story you're talking about. I'll tell you the only story I know about the first KO shirt. Okay, so the original idea was, a lot of people asked me about this particular shirt because it was in the vignettes before I got to NXT, was this kind of paint design. That came about because a week after I got to NXT, they would do this thing where they would just kind of get people in the ring and record footage of them, just bouncing around in the ring and just kind of making faces and just, you know, for the entrance video and stuff like that, or for the video packages that they do. And at that point, I had no identity. I didn't know what my name was going to be. I didn't know what they expected from me. I had no idea. I'd been there for a week. So I had, like, nice, clean wrestling singlets made with, like, a, you know, super pro wrestler. And I was like, this looks terrible. And then I had it on, and I was about to go do my thing, and Enzo walked past me and said, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Well, I'm a wrestler." He's like, no, wear your shorts and your shirt that, you know. But then I didn't have a shirt, so I flipped a Guns N' Roses shirt I had inside out, and I used Finn Balor's paint to write "Fight Me" on it. And then they kind of liked the look of that, and then we made an actual shirt with, like, I don't know, like printed, like the paint thing. For some reason, we couldn't get the paint approved by, you know, the legal department for the shirt, and that's when the duct tape came about. And the original duct tape that I had was actual, like, they were making the shirt with the duct tape that guy's wearing right there.
Right.
So my gear, they wanted to look somewhat like that. So they had actual duct tape sewed onto a shirt. And it looked terrible. So I'm getting ready for my match my first match in NXT. And I put the shirt on. And I had matching shorts. And I look at William Regal. And he's just looking at me like, yes. So I'm like, I know, I can't wear this. And then I saw that one, because I hadn't seen it yet. I'm like, oh, I'll just cut the sleeves off that and wear it. And everybody's like, yeah, okay. Here we go. So somewhere in my house, there's an actual duct tape shirt that kind of looks like that, but not really.
And it's sewn.
It's the duct tape, it's actual duct tape that was sewn on. And you guys are never going to get to see it, because it's terrible.
That's a wise move. Do you have any idea why you seem to come up from NXT way quicker than anybody else?
Oh, yeah, I'm really good.
Is that what it sure was? That was my theory.
All right. I know it seems like I was joking, but that literally is the reason.
Was there anybody that, like, saw you, like, that you caught somebody's eye? Was it, did Vince McMahon watch you wrestle that match with John Cena and say, okay, I need him here regularly?
Well, I mean, by the time I showed up on Raw that Monday to confront Cena, I had already been told you're on the main roster.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I don't know who saw what. Obviously, I know Triple H is the reason I'm here. He took the chance on me originally, and obviously, he had a big, you know, a big part to play in it, but I don't know who saw what and made them decide that it was time for me to come up when, you know, the usual way to go about things back then, from, you know, to get called from NXT, it could take years.
Finn Balor, like, he was the guy.
I also feel like, honestly, I was probably at the right place at the right time, because at that point, John Cena needed somebody to work with that people would be excited to see him work with, and I think I was the guy. And it's funny, because when I first signed with WWE, my goal was to work with Cena. I got to do it right away, so it's a hell of a way to start. Yeah,
you seem like a lot. I feel like there's two.
All right, fascinating sometimes listening to wrestlers talk about the craft. But anyway, I'm home, so I'm gonna be home, and that's pretty awesome. Everybody have a good weekend. Do your thing. See you Tuesday.